Started. It's a small book towards the back, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you see 2 Thessalonians, you've gone too far. 1 and 2 Timothy, you've gone too far. But that's where we are headed tonight. So, as we turn to the scripture tonight, that's appropriate because I want to start a series talking about prayer, and I'd like to title it Breathe. Breathe. Don't you like consciously breathe right now? Can you just... Some of you ever had a doctor tell you to take a deep cleansing breath? What does that mean? Does my breath smell, Dr. Smith? Deep cleansing breath. By God's grace, He designed your body that it would breathe what we call involuntarily. Just like your heart, you don't have to be thinking, beat, heart, beat, beat, heart, beat. It just kind of involuntarily beats, right? Well, in your breathing, in your lungs, there's a similar involuntary thing that's going on. And actually, by God's wisdom, it's atmospheric pressure that is a contributing factor to make breathing easier. You know what I mean? Right? We are under the Earth's atmosphere. We're under a certain amount of air pressure all the time. And air pressure actually makes breathing easier. If we were in space, well, we'd kind of turn to jelly, right? Because there's not enough air pressure. But here under the canopy of the moisture of the Earth's atmosphere, we're under a certain amount of pressure, and our bodies are designed to be under that pressure, and it is, in fact, designed to make it easier for you to breathe. How many think God's pretty cool, right? God's got some good ideas. Breathing is really helpful. Other religions have tried to start to get a corner on the market of teaching you how to breathe. There's even a Buddhist bookstore in this neighborhood called Breathe. Because through transcendental meditation or other ways of teaching meditation, people are starting to use breathing in spiritual ways. Well, I've got news for you. There is meditation in the Holy Bible. The worship of Yahweh God, the God who created the earth, is actually the oldest worship, the oldest faith. It is a personal relationship in which your breathing can focus you on the living God, or as the scripture says, bring you to a place to be still and know that He is God. All right, I've lost some of you already, so let me start again. Are you here? Yeah. Are you breathing? Okay, take a breath. Breathe. Breathe. I want to talk a little bit about prayer, and in particular, the prayer of thanksgiving. The prayer of thanksgiving. And in doing so, I want to use as our text 1 Thessalonians. Whew, that was a tongue twister. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. You can see on the screen, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, these three, actually ancient Christians talked about these three thoughts in this section like a necklace with three coins on it. Three things that you were constantly touch, think about, go back to on a regular basis. As Paul writes, for this is God's will. It's a specific phrase that he says, for this is God's will. It's his way of saying, hey, listen, this is not my idea. These three are not my idea. These three are really important between you and God. And though they might sound impossible, and Paul knew the people that he was writing this letter to, he knew them, he knew their names, like I know you. There's no one in this room I don't know your name. I don't know at least something about you, right? Paul knew the people that he was writing the letter to, and he knew that these three, three coins on a necklace that you would wear and constantly think about, that they would feel a little impossible. Anyone feel that just in the first reading? They feel a little impossible. They sound a little bit difficult. And so that's why he said this extra phrase, "This is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus," to frame it in that it is the love of Jesus Christ, it is who Jesus is, that is the context for that. Anytime that we are facing something that sounds impossible in Scripture, there's usually a qualifying phrase not too far off that says, "because of Jesus," or "because of God," which is an indicator to us that we're not to try to attempt this without Him. You know, our family, one of our favorite shows is MythBusters. They're in their final season. We're very sad about that. And you get the qualifier at the front of MythBusters: "This is done by professionals. Don't try this at home." Well, this is a part of God, by His grace, saying to us, don't try this on your own. Are you there? You're breathing, right? Now, this is written to Christians like you and I in the town of, Christians call it Thessalonica. In Greece, it still exists. It's called Thessaloniki. Thessaloniki is a real place in Greece, and in fact, there is still a church to this day that takes its roots from the church that this was written to. True story. And I have had a personal family friend who spent time in Thessaloniki, and he says that they are wonderful, amazing, jovial people. It might be because they live in Greece. But just as the ancient Grecians, the Thessalonians, at the beginning of this letter, as Paul references, they've gone through some hard stuff. They've gone through some difficult things. And the theme of this letter, the most important part of this letter, is that Jesus is coming back. I'm going to have a moment, right? Who is glad that Jesus is coming back? That whatever troubles we face in this world are temporary. Come on, somebody. They are temporary. Jesus is coming back. So that's the theme of the letter. And just like a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about, you're going up. Remember that? You're headed up. You're headed to heaven. There should be a context, a foundation, a bedrock in your guts, if you will, the guts of your life. There should be a foundational bedrock that includes the hope of heaven because of Jesus. So that's the context for this phrase when he says these very difficult words. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. You can, in a way, when you breathe, imagine that you're obeying God in the verses about prayer, that when you breathe in, you're breathing in an awareness of who God is and all that is good that is from God. When you let the breath out, you can imagine, if you will, that you are letting go of all that is negative, all that is bad, all that is wrong. And so that with every breath that you breathe in, you are bringing yourself to a place of a focus on God. And I want to, my wife and I started a book about prayer called Prayer by Timothy Keller, and he rightfully says that the best stuff about prayer has already been written, but the reason that he writes this book is because not one other book talks both about the intercessory or the work of prayer, the function of prayer, the asking God for stuff or asking God for change, and also the resting in prayer, the being still and the celebrating, the meditating, the enjoying God in His presence. See, prayer has more than one function. It accomplishes more than one thing. And what I like about these three things that Paul strings together in this part of the letter as he's wrapping up this letter to people he cares about so much is that they are connected. They are connected. Always be joyful. Never quit praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. They are connected. So what are we talking about here? Prayer, oops, went too far. To breathe, or this middle phrase, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? That sounds crazy. It's not possible, right? We can't possibly be meant to always be seated, eyes closed, hands, you know, and down 24 hours a day. Right? Clearly, that's not what he's talking about. Because he didn't even do that. He was a world traveler. Is this too logical for you? I'm sorry. I swung too far the other way on the pendulum. It's not physically possible. That's clearly not what he's talking about. We need to unpack what he is talking about. Are you with me? So pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. He's talking about a God conversation. A God conversation. And I like the way that Kelly talked about it, because I want you to know that though I can be a loud and long prayer, that I believe in, that I see, that I myself practice the value of the very short and at times the silent prayer. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you pray loud. It doesn't matter if you pray silent. It doesn't matter if you pray long with a $20 vocabulary or if you pray short. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you have a personal interaction with God. Right? That you, God created, God is the most creative being whom has ever existed. Are we on the same page? He's the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. He was the one that created these little hummingbirds indigenous to Mexico that are insane. That's a topic for another day. God is a creative God. He creates all kinds of things. Look around this room. A few of us yesterday were at the Ethnos conference, and we were talking about how there is one human race. One human race, and that the beauty of the variety of ethnicity is amazing and illustrates the glory of a creative God. And that any form of racism diminishes the principle of Imago Dei, which is to say we are each created in the image of God. We serve a creative God. And what that means is that prayer can be different for us. Are you out there tonight? Prayer can be different for you than it is for your neighbor. But what it most certainly is a God conversation. Are you talking with him? Are you talking to him? Are you talking at him? Are you talking with him? Are you listening? Is there a dialogue? A conversation? You know, sometimes, don't tell them I said this, but sometimes my kids are both talking and they're not having a conversation. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Are you having a conversation with God? Listen, it's not intimidating. It's not complicated. Because the same God who knew you in your mother's womb, who chose you before you were born, who knew the numbers of hair on your head, who knew what you would do with that hair? The same God who knows you better than anyone else in this room does wants a conversation with you. And that means that however you start it, it's okay. He wants a conversation. We are called to a God consciousness, this pray without ceasing, this never stop praying. This is what it's talking about, is that all the time I'm aware of God. I am surrendered to God, and I am dependent on God. That in whatever I'm doing, well, how is this possible? Well, you shouldn't interrupt your conversation with God by doing anything that you can't ask him to join in on. was good. You shouldn't interrupt your conversation with God by doing anything that you can't ask Him to join in on. I shouldn't be doing anything in my day where I can't say, God, bless this, bless me in this, help me to do this. God believes in rest. He took rest Himself. Some of y'all need to learn how to rest. The Sabbath principle is something that God takes seriously if you violate. One day a week for rest and worship. Sabbath principle. You're here, you get it. Okay? We are called to a place of being constantly aware of Him, constantly aware of His presence. And whether I'm resting, whether I'm sleeping, whether I am working, whether I am studying, whether I'm reading, whether I am kissing my wife or doing the dishes, any of those things, I can say, God, bless me in this. Because those are things He created me to do. So if the more I can avoid activities that interrupt that conversation. Now, when I was a wee lad, I stole a couple things. Well, that's an example of not something I can do and say, God, help me to do this. Am I making any sense? So how do I do this pray without giving up? Well, one thing that we need to really start to understand is this very simple phrase. We are called to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Forever. Every activity of your life should bring you back to a place of, God, You are good. And it should happen in your prayer life as well. And so a part of what this means is that you've got to have times where you stop what you're doing. Breathe. Breathe. Listen, I'm human. I get worked up over stuff too. The check engine light on the car or something from the IRS. Like you just, those two things like just make my navel pucker. Just it gets me a little, like we all get stressed over different stuff, right? So when you're stressed over something, you got to breathe. Pray, be aware of God's presence. Focus on who He is. And whether you're in a place of right now you're too proud and you think that you're pulling all this good stuff off yourself, feeling like you don't need God to go through life, or life is mundane and ordinary and getting boring, or in the middle of a challenge, no matter what stage of life that you are in, this practice will help you to stop. And breathe and think, who is God? Where is He in this moment? Is this making sense? Who is God? Where is He in this moment? Now, a part of what He's talking about with this, with always be joyful, never stop praying, right? Is fuel. Fuel. See, prayer is a personal communicative response to the knowledge of God. And what kind of fuel you're burning determines what you can do. Did you notice that they don't put wood in rockets and light it on fire? Nat, is that true? Right. Rocket fuel's a little different, right, Nat? Yeah, very different. Rocket fuel burns with a specific focus. And what you're burning, what your fuel is in your prayer, will determine what's coming out of it. And how it smells. If in my prayer, I will learn in whatever state I am in. Really important statement. In whatever state I'm in, if I will learn to stop and thank God that at least I have breath. If I will learn to stop. This is good. If I will learn to stop and find something. And this is something that I've been trying to do for the last couple of years. Rebecca and I would pray together every night. We pray together in different ways as well. But I try to, now, I needed an attitude adjustment. So I just, not saying that you have to do this, but I just started trying to start every prayer with a thank you. And if I can start a prayer with a thank you, for example, Romans 5:8, thank you, Jesus, that while I was still a sinner, You chose to die and You loved me. That's always going to be true, even on your worst day. One of our children had a particularly bad day during the school week last week, and I had a bad day. Even on your worst day, you can say, thank you, Jesus, that when I was at my worst, you had already chosen to lay your life down for me, that I could be forgiven of my own sins and not look to hell as my future, but to heaven. That's my fuel. That's the fuel for my gratitude. Listen, folks, the Bible is not a fantasy land. This verse is written to real people going through real problems. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. That's not written for a fantasy land. This never stop praying. Pray without ceasing. What it's saying is that when our thoughts turn to worry, fear, discouragement, and anger, we are to consciously and quickly turn every thought into prayer and every prayer into thanksgiving. Consciously, in every moment, a continual, nonstop conversation that you're having with God, where a thank you is your fuel. As we wrap up, I want to give you a few more verses to consider. Paul writes to Timothy, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. So in the last 24 hours, we've crossed over our 300th murder in Baltimore City. I am praying that God will save more Sauls. Saul, who is Paul, who wrote this, was a murderer. I am praying that the murderers in Paris, are you hearing me? I am praying that God will bring murder. This guy was a murderer. And many of the churches in different regions of the world exist because of him. The way that he followed Jesus. I'm praying that murderers will come to faith in Jesus. Pray for all people. Philippians 4:6, we've talked about this almost every week. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. How can I do this? Never give up on prayer. Prayer without ceasing. You got to think about it like breathing. Essential to your survival. We got to stop thinking about it like optional. Are you too busy to pray? No, you're too busy not to pray. By the way, that's the title of a good book you should look up. Do you know that God can make you more efficient? Just like some students need to sleep more, they would do better on their tests if they would sleep a little more. Scientific fact. God can make you more efficient. I've had times where when I was frustrated with the task, stop, pray, boom, finish it. God can make you more efficient. But we have got to stop thinking that communicating with God is optional. It's not. If you are experiencing a level of frustration that's interrupting your normal daily life, that means that you are spiritually sick. You know, Rebecca talked about it last week. Which one are you feeding the most? Are you feeding your spirit? So this month, just for kicks, you're going to see me using the hashtag can't stop, won't stop. I'm going to redeem it in the name of Jesus. from the hip-hop world. There's a book about the history of hip-hop by that title. Can't Stop, Won't Stop. We've got to look at prayer as essential as our breath. All day, every day, short, long, loud, silent. Can't stop, won't stop. Breathe. Come on. Breathe. Come on. Breathe. Breathe in the presence of the living God. Breathe out this exhaust that is the result of you trying to do life out of your own strength. Who am I talking to tonight? Come on. Breathe in the presence of the living God. Pray a constant, never ceasing, never stopping. You know what never without ceasing also means? I got to get this out because next week we got more ground to cover. It means that I make a decision that I will not give up on prayer. I got to make a decision on the inside of me that I will not give up, that if it is God who created the galaxies, who carved the height of the mountains and the depth of the oceans, you know, every time they go to the depths of the oceans, they discover new species. The same God who created every one of those species, that created a galaxy that we are only yet learning how to describe, and we call it discovering. A God who created all of this amazingness is the same God who wants to converse with you. And He's capable. He's capable. I've got to breathe. I've got to make a decision that my God awareness, my God trust, my God consciousness, my God dependence is essential to my survival. I cannot, I will not give up. Can't stop, won't stop. I think that's good. I think that's funny. So I'm going to keep using it. I can't stop, won't stop. It's time to breathe. It's time to breathe. Now, I want to close with prayer. Everybody okay with a couple minutes of prayer? Okay? I know we are at our time. Listen, I know that for a lot of us in this room, the fact that in Baltimore City we have a lot of people that are hopeless, that what I mean by that is that they don't have any hope on the inside of themselves, that life can be different. They believe that pulling a trigger is essential to their survival. Okay, that's a part of our reality. There are people that believe if I don't pull a trigger, I won't survive. There are people that don't see hope, don't see a reason to live life in a different way. And I know that for many of us, that can seem hopeless. It can seem too big. It can seem like, I don't know what to do about that. It can seem like, am I making any sense? Right? Well, let me tell you what. Every one of us can pray. Every one of us can pray. And let me give you a suggestion real quick. We can pray for those that are pulling the trigger to come to faith in Jesus. Right? God wants to save some more souls. We can pray for the families that are suffering loss. Right? Those that are suffering that won't have somebody at the Thanksgiving table this year. We can pray for the systematic problems that have contributed to this hopelessness. We can pray for educational equality. Do you know that the vocation in this church is the most common is teachers? Some of you teachers in the room are the only one that's giving hope to some of those kids. And you need to be applauded as heroes. Yes. We need to pray for educational equality. And that those that are teachers would have faith and courage and love and not wear out, but be willing to love on these kids that may not have anybody else in their life who's loving on them. We need to pray that God will bring about believers that are about His agenda on every level of government. And we need to pray for our police officers. The bad ones and the good ones. Are you with me? Now, we can pray the same prayers for Paris and the issues of terrorism, the issues are the same. Are you with me? Can we stand to close our time in prayer tonight, please? Now, here's how I want to do this tonight. I'm going to take 2 times of prayer. Okay, the first one, for a minute, we're going to pray together over those needs that I just said. A lot of times when we pray in this church, we use the Baptist method, which is okay, and that's where one person prays at a time, because we do believe the Bible talks about things being done decently in order, and that's good. But the first minute that we're going to pray, I want us to pray simultaneously over the things that I just said. You can pray silently. You can pray short. You can pray loud. You can pray long. I don't care. No right or wrong way. There's no right or wrong way. But for a minute, I want us to pray simultaneously. And then I'm going to lead us into prayer over these issues to bring us together into agreement to close out tonight. Are you okay with that? I want to tell you something before we pray. It doesn't matter how hopeless something looks. Anything is possible with God. It is not up to us to figure out every solution to every problem. Now, there are some where it's up to us, but not every solution to every problem. There are times when it is time for us to say, God, I need you to do what I cannot do. Are you with me? Those are the prayers that God wants us to pray. And in fact, when Jesus teaches us how to pray, that's exactly what he teaches us to do. To pray for miracles where we are incapable of doing it ourselves. God can bring a change. God saved Saul. Remember? Okay. Are you ready? Okay, so we're going to take a minute and simultaneously pray together over these issues right now. Let's go. Oh God, I ask you to come right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would have your way. Lord, that you would do a miracle. Lord God, we need to see miracles. God, we are asking that you would put an end to the corruption, an end to racism, Lord, an end to the economic, Lord, a perversion that has come about, Lord, that has eliminated jobs. God, we are asking that you would put an end to it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are asking that you would put an end to drug addiction, Lord God, to abuse, to theft, Lord God, to an abuse of power in the homes. Lord, we are asking that you would put an end to homes just being blocked up and not being able to be used. God, we ask that you would put an end to it in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would bring about an economic return, Lord, for jobs, Lord, for new opportunities for families, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking for change. We're asking for things to be different. We're asking, Lord, for things that we cannot even see ourselves, how the solution should be and what should happen. Lord, we're asking that you would move in your power, that you would do something, Lord God, that you would have mercy on us, that you would forgive us. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are strong enough. I thank you that you are powerful enough. God, I thank you that tonight we can reasonably believe that you hear our prayer. We thank you that tonight we can pray with understanding in alignment with your will. We believe, Lord God, that it is not your will that any young man would pull the trigger and take the life of another. Lord God, we believe that it is not your will that there would be hopelessness and a lack of opportunity, a lack of education, a lack of jobs. We believe that is not your kingdom. That is not good stewardship. That is not your plan. And God, tonight we are asking that you would accomplish miracles and things that we cannot do on our own. We are asking that you would bring change in the name of Jesus. And we know that across this city, whether it be while incarcerated or on the streets, whether it be homeless or in homes, that there are people that are complicit, whether they pulled the trigger or not, that they are involved in this vicious cycle of violence and revenge and taking life, Lord, and we are asking that you would do miracles in the same way that you appeared to Saul and you knocked him off his horse, that you would do miracles. We're not asking about tomorrow, we are asking about tonight. Lord, we are asking that tonight you would do miracles, that you would knock some people off their horses, Lord God, that you would bring them to repentance, to your throne of kindness, to lasting life change, Lord God, to become the next Pauls, to become the next pastors, Lord God, of churches, the next principals of schools and teachers and government officials and police officers and doctors and medics. God, we're asking for miracles of salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, we repent for our own inaction and apathy, Lord God. We believe that the ground cries out with blood in Baltimore City, that it is not your intent. And we agree with even the ground in Baltimore City, and we say, it should not be so. It should not be so. God, forgive us for anywhere that we have not done the right thing or we have done the wrong thing. Forgive us, cleanse us, strengthen us, heal our ability to dream, heal our ability to see what you see. Lord, I ask that right now tonight you would inspire a greater level of prayer in this church, that you would lead us to conversation, to thinking about you more, to depending upon you more, to hearing you more, to responding to you more. Oh, that we would stop, that we would breathe. Help us to stop and say, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for your resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved me when I was at my worst. Help us to breathe. Help us to reach out to you and to call out what we see that is wrong and ask you to bring change and then take steps in the direction that you want us to. Lord, tonight we say this far and no more. Lord, we agree with you. No more murder in Baltimore City. That this will be the last year that the number 300 is mentioned. The last year, God, we are asking for lasting change. Bring about change in the name of Jesus. Bring peace, bring healing to the homes of all those that are suffering loss tonight. Help us over the next 6 weeks to always be looking for people that are lonely, looking for people that are hurting, and bring them into our lives that we could show them your love. I thank you for it. I thank you, God. We can reasonably believe that you always hear us and you answer. I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Grace and peace to you as you enjoy this week. There are refreshments available tonight. Give somebody a hug, a high five, something. Enjoy your evening. God bless you.